God is good.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you the truth. Can I tell you the truth? The God's word heals you. God's word, not me. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. Amen. I'm not a healer. I can't do anything. The only thing I'm going to do is what I do every Sunday, lead you to the food. Amen. But if you take the food and you eat the food, I will tell you, God's word can heal you. Greg, I stand on it every day. With everything that I've gone through in my life, I stand on it every day. I ask God to show me. Sometimes God gives me cravings. I believe it. I don't know if you might think I'm crazy. I am. I'm crazy for God. Cravings for something that I feel like, oh, and it makes me feel better. Like sometimes it's still like orange juice, for instance. But I believe if I talk to God all the time, I ask him to help me all. I believe he's going to help me all. I believe he leads me. And I believe this book right here, this book heals you. Amen. When this book can make you lose one bit of stress, you begin the healing. Amen. Because it's stress that causes our body all the pain and anxiety. It's stress that keeps you up at night. Amen. It's the worrying about whatever, anything. This book is healing. This is a healing book. I believe it. And that's why I'm going to feed you today. Amen. Because I want you to be strong. I want you, when you talk about God to somebody, that they look at you and say, yeah, really? Oh, look at, especially, say that word with me, especially those that knew you before. Amen. You need to be stronger for them. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Responsive reading, 24, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Can you imagine what it was like the day he started creating where we live? How he brought the clouds and how he brought everything into place? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? See, it just said you. You can enter those places. Isn't that? That should bring tears to your eye. You can enter those places. You don't need somebody taking you there. You don't need somebody talking to God for you. He said, you can. You can do it because you got the clean hands and the pure heart. Hallelujah. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. That's you. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. Hallelujah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I believe that with all that I am. I've met so many people who know so many religions, and I just want to say, just know Jesus. If you think you're right, talk to Jesus. He will show you the way. Jesus will guide you. We live in the covenant of grace. The world does not understand that. The world will take a scripture out of context, which the Bible says not to do, and they will put their own interpretation in it, which the Bible says not to do. Amen. And they'll start to tell us about slaves and tell them. I said, no, you don't understand. I live in the covenant of grace. I live under the covenant of Jesus now. Amen. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want you to be healed. I want you to find strength beyond the strength that you thought. I want your families to look at you and say, man, I just can't believe it. Whether they accept it or not is not important. Amen. But you show them God. And when you show them God and you start walking that way, guess what happens? Your mountain surgery are removed. Amen. Because all the things you're praying for, God has heard us. He never forgets. Say that with me. He never forgets your prayers. So you don't need to pray the same thing over. You wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for the answer to that. And the answer is in this book. Hallelujah. Now the testimony for today. No, God bless you. We love having children. There was a man just recently who lived in Shelton. He's not a rich man. He wasn't a celebrity. He wasn't famous. He passed away a couple of weeks ago in his house. Not a lot of people knew about it. He wasn't a man that drew a lot of people to him. Amen. He was a man who started falling down a lot. He fell down so bad he hit himself on his face a bunch of times, cut his head open a bunch of times, had stitches a bunch of times, broke his nose a bunch of times. Nobody knew. Nobody really knew because he wasn't a famous man. And he had one desire. His desire was to stay in home until he passed. He didn't want to go to a nursing home. He didn't want to do anything. He wanted to live at home. And he passed away. He passed away in his house after all that time, after all those years. And it, the story is so beautiful about this man, because there were people who lived next door to him. They were his friends, Sergio, just his friend. Now, he didn't have family. He didn't have a lot of family to take care of him. But he had two people who called him friend. And they got no reward, and they got no recognition, although they're going to get it this morning. Amen. They not only helped him, they helped him with his business, his home. He was going to lose his home. He was going to have to, things had to be taken. How many know when you're sick, things still, the electric company still wants their money, right? They don't care. Right? They helped him. They watched over him. They took care of him. They took care of his aches and his pains. They treated him, like family, but it's hard to find family to give that kind of love, amen? To give that total to something with no reward. There was no reward in sight. They weren't going to inherit anything, amen? They did it out of compassion, amen? They did it out of loyalty. And why? Because he was a friend. Because he was a friend. These two people. And I would tell you this about this man that nobody knew. Without these two angels in his life, he would have lost all he had. He would have lost it all, Sergio. He would have lost his house. He would have lost it all because he would have had to give it all up to go into a nursing home, to go into senior living. Amen. He would have lost all that. And he would have also passed away in a strange place around strangers. But not for the love of two people was he able to stay in his home until the day he passed away, where he wanted to be, keeping everything that he had around him. Hallelujah. God gave this man a new family. Amen. He didn't have a family. He didn't have anybody that would even bother to take care. God, who did it? God sent a new family to this man. He sent them these two people. Hallelujah. And that is what church is all about. That's when you come to church. Hi, Judy. Hi, Phil. When you come to church, you should know everybody's name. I remember hearing people say, I go to church, there's people, I don't know those people sitting in front of me, sitting behind me. I said, what kind of church is that? What kind of families? Yeah, that's a family, all right, amen. Because I know about how families spread out and split up and you don't know your cousins and see your family like that. It just happens. But not in the family of God, amen. When you come to a church, that's why you should come to the church and get grounded and do in the church. Because it's a family, amen. It's a family that God brings us, amen. And this man, because of two people that God sent him, was able to live at home until the day he passed. And if I told you that those two people were among you, wouldn't you feel special? Wouldn't you feel like there's two people that are just absolutely amazing? Two people who have that kind of compassion? Two people that have that kind of love? Wouldn't that be amazing if I told you that there were two people sitting right here in this church that had that kind of love and compassion? Wouldn't you say, wouldn't that be worth something on the front page? Wouldn't you want to see that on the news tonight? On channel? Because in your church, there are two people, Art and Gladys. God put that all together, amen? And that's greatness in this church and the kind of compassion. That's why I tell you, you got to go to church. You got to have a family, because we're all going to go through things. We all go through things where we need more help than we know what to do with. But when you come to a church and a family, all of a sudden you turn around and there's the help. There's the hand. There's the hug. There's the comfort. Amen? And it was just, let's just pray together that we understand what church is all about, what God is all about in the heart of somebody who loves. That kind of compassion, it comes from God. He gave us the greatest gift of all. He gave us eternal life. He gave us the promise of forever with those that we love, that we miss so much. But he gave us this life to enjoy too, this life to share with others, this life to tell others about him, this life to be stronger in him, this life to remove mountains and do the impossible. God said we can do the impossible with him who strengthens us. We need to show the world what God is all about. The world's trying to tell us what God is and what church is, and they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what kind of a church that we have right here in Derby. They're, okay, we don't have 5,000 people. They don't understand it's not 5,000 people that make a church. It's the people who love one another that make a church. People who make people feel welcome to come in that make a church. People who don't tell you, you need to join here and you need to come to this church and you need to give your tithes and offerings and you need to do this and that in order to be a member of the church. No, you need to love Jesus to be a member of this church. You need to trust Jesus to be a member. You need to love His Word to be a member here. You need to want more of Him to be a member here because we're all together building each other up. And this church is a miraculous church. Miracles happening in this church. People's lives change in this church. Comfort, looking forward to Sunday to come here to hear the Word. That's a miracle. God is performing miracles in our lives right around us. We need to hold on to them. We need to see them. We need to believe in them. We need to trust Him. Hallelujah, because God is so real and so beautiful. The world doesn't even know how beautiful God is because they made their own idea who He is instead of finding out the real Jesus, the real Bible. Hallelujah. But we're here today so we can be stronger today. Hallelujah. We can leave here stronger than when we walked in. We can leave here curious to want to know more. We can leave here hungry to want to hear more of what God can and will do in our lives. Hallelujah. It keeps you strong. So Lord, we thank You for this day that was not promised yesterday. We thank You that we're here, Lord, and we're just going to open our hearts to receive. Not what we think we're going to receive. Not what we think we know, but we're going to retain Your Word. We're going to receive You today because with You, all things are possible. With us, nothing is possible. With You, Lord, all things are possible. So we're going to look at You. We're going to look up today. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And we just give You thanks for all the love in this church, all the compassion in this church, and the family that You have promised us, Lord. We also promise when You bring the new people in, Lord, that we will love them and lift them with Your Word, Lord. Not with gimmicks and big fancy words, Lord, but with You and Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Church. Thank you, Lord. We ask God to remove mountains in our lives. How many have asked God to do that? And we wake up the next day and we rebuild the mountain right there in front of us. Amen? And I said, it's not with willpower do we succeed. It's with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Understand that God has put His Spirit inside each and every one of us who love Jesus. Amen. We have a power that the world does not understand. They talk about nuclear power. We got a power greater than anything in the world. Amen. It's inside of us. And I'm going to tell you again, I'm going to say this again. I believe the Word of God does heal our bodies. I believe it. I'm not a healer, but I give you the Word of God feeding you His ways. Whose ways? His strength. Whose strength? And His promises, not mine. I believe we build those mountains we face. We build a lot of them. And listen, please listen. I believe we build those mountains. And because we build them, we think they can never be removed. Amen? And that's a lie from the pits of Hades. Amen? We build all these things. We put it up in front of us. Well, I've been this way all my life. Well, you're building the mountain. And now you say, I've been this way all my life and there's nothing I can do. You build that mountain. There's no way to take it away. Amen? But when you stop looking back and say, you know what? I got a mountain behind me now. I'm walking through because God is going to carry me through. I want to do more for God. If I want to do more for God, then I need to walk through that mountain. I need to get it behind me. Amen? I need to do it and God will do that with me. And when God moves you through the mountains, your strength becomes unbelievable. Your faith becomes unbelievable. Amen? And then your life changes. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I tell you this again, not because I tell you that I fail, but we all fail each week. We all fail. Amen? We fail. But we rise up and we try again. Why? Because we're running a race. How many know that? You're running a race. Amen? When you're running a race, how many run the race they want to win? Amen? We want to win that. Hallelujah. We all fail. We must rise and fight again with God more and more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's stories in the Bible that you read and you say, well, I heard that story before. And this is so special. I wish you all would start reading the Bible. I really do. I wish you'd all take it out, open up some of the stories. I would tell you this from a pastor, hearing from a pastor. If you start to read something in the Bible, friend, and it makes no sense to you, turn the page. Just find something that is something that is making sense and touching your spirit. Amen? Because I'm one person that says, oh, I read the Bible front to back. I said, well, that's not the way the book is. It's not a book being read from front to back. I mean, it's not Gone with the Wind. It's a story with all sorts of little stories. But I believe this, hear me, that if you find a page that you like, Deacon Gary, when you do your Bible study, you find a page, and every day for a week, you go back and read that one page. Just read, you read it slow. I will believe that God will show you something different every day. Every day He will, because the Word is alive. Amen? So we read some of these stories, and we miss some things. So I'm going to read some stories. And this verse from this 1 Samuel, and it's 17. I'm going to start with 17. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. Who's he going to run to? His brother. Now this is David, amen? So the brothers know him, amen? David loves God. David is a man, and Samuel is a prophet who loved God. Amen. So there's no confusing whether they love God or not. Amen. So his father tells him, take for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. And his father said, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captains of their thousands, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they, all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went at Jesse had commanded him. See, now the people would say, his father didn't command him. His father told him to do it. Amen. I never thought my father commanded me to do anything. Amen. But when he told me to do something, he told me to do it for a reason. I never thought it was. Anybody ever think it was a commandment? So that's where people would read the Bible. Look at, he commanded him to go. No, he didn't. Come on. And he came to the camp at the army was going out to, as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, and he ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. What did he do? Who did he greet? His brothers. Amen? His family. Amen? He met his family. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. He said, all the men of Israel, and when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, hey David, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Even back then they were worried about taxes. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. So the people were telling David, yeah, if somebody goes down there and kills this guy, he's going to be rich beyond his wildest imagination. And he's even going to get the king's daughter. I don't know. And the father's going to exempt him from taxes. Taxes. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, now listen to them. I want you to understand that you might miss it. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? There's faith for you right there. He's saying, who is this guy that's talking about my God? Imagine the Christians said that more often. Hallelujah. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. All of that. Now listen to this, please. That's where I'm going with it. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down here to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first one did. How many have tried to preach to your family about God? Preach to your friends about God? There's David. Now, if anybody knows, it'd be his family, what kind of man David is, amen? But his brothers saw him and heard his answer, and they were upset at him, amen? They were jealous of him, too. Listen to what he said, and you don't have to take my word for it. Eliab, the oldest brother, heard what he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. Imagine that. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? He was mocking him, amen? His brother, his family, because they knew him too well, amen? They thought they knew him too well, amen? Amen? Thank you, Lord. Family. We try to tell our family about God. Family, thank you, Lord. Now in Genesis 37, here's another story. This is quite interesting. Now Israel, not the country, but the man Israel, loved Joseph, not that Joseph, more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. Hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Imagine that. Brothers, family. Now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Not good there. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Joseph was telling his brothers about who? God. Telling about prophecy to who he got from who? And they did what? What was the brothers' reaction? They hated him. I'm telling you. Then he dreams still another dream. All right, David. Joseph. I'm sorry, not that Joseph. Then he dreamed still another dream, and it told it to his brothers. Why? See, he's consistent. Amen? He's consistently wanting to tell his brothers what God is telling him. He said, don't you understand? I got to tell you again. He said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Not the end of the story, it continues. Then his brothers, who? Went to feed their families, their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said, here I am. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. He didn't command him, did he? I mean, the word commanded was in the other one. He said, please go. So he sent him out in the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, who saw him? His family. Listen, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. What has he done to them? What has Joseph done to his brothers? Talked about who? I mean, like so excited. God is talking, and what do they want to do? Who are these guys? Hallelujah. Brothers. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams then. Yeah. But Reuben, the oldest brother, heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back later." See, he's thinking, well, maybe I'll come back and help him. So he's going to try to help him. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Imagine that. They threw their brother into a pit with no water. And what did they do next? They went to 34 Diner and eat something. They sat down and imagine that. You throw your brother because he loves God. He's trying to tell you about God. But his family throws him in the pit so he will die. And then they go eat. You're telling you, how many tell your family about God? Let me tell you, you better read this again. Then they lifted their eyes and looked. And there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brother, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood?" He said, "Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brother listened. They listened to that. The Midianites traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. How many have tried to talk to your family about God and wonder why they don't listen? I'm telling you about God. You got to change your life. I'm trying to help you. Get away from me. I hate you. We don't like that word. My wife said this week she don't like that word. But the Bible said the brothers hated him. Why? Because he was telling them about who? Hallelujah. Now, this story has the same ending. And here's this part of the story that really affects us. Joseph and David, amen, were hated by their brothers, hated by, didn't listen to anybody. But Joseph and David had one thing in common, Jim. They loved God. They trusted God. They leaned on God. Everything they did was about God. Remember, Sergio, Joseph's having visions from God. God has shown. Now, he didn't have it right. His pride was a little. And when you think about it, Joseph was maybe a little just too proud about his dream. Amen. Actually thought it was him in that way that God would see. He did have a little edge to him. Amen. But listen, I'm telling you something, friend. If God's talking to you later, you're going to have an edge. If God says something to tell us how to make this church have 1,000 people, you're going to say, "Listen, God told me, you better do it. You better put lights all over the building." And then they put up his sirens and something. When God talks to you, you get excited. Amen. When you love God, you get excited. How many do? When you love God, Gene, you love God, you get excited. Amen. You get excited. So it happens. Your excitement. Amen. And his heart, listen, Miss Judy's over there. Hi, Judy. Hi, Phil. Judy's a Catholic. So when I no, it's true. I don't mean to pick on her, but when I try to tell her what's in the Bible, you see, she's had years of teaching that wasn't wrong. It just didn't say, "Hey, Judy, you can go to God and talk to him anytime. You don't have to have somebody talk to you about God, because God is inside of you, because you love God. It's obvious you love God, and your spirit is all about love. But you don't need an interpreter. Amen. You need God. You need to talk to God." So David and Joseph are like us, amen, trying to get our family and all the things. But you see, here's what happened. This is what makes it more that I want the message for. They gave their heart to God. They did. I don't know about you, but those sound like mountains to me, amen. Your brother sells you into slavery. Your other brothers mock you in front of the army. They ridicule you. That sounds like mountains to me. But they walked. They didn't even see those mountains. See, that's the thing, amen. They didn't see those mountains. And we might have problems in our life. Maybe my hand bothered me this week. It bothered me crazy. It's a problem, but God's going to get me through that. I know he's going to get me through that, amen. Sister, but my hand doesn't compare to anything what you went through this time. And see, that's a mountain you're walking through right now. Hallelujah. But see, God, he'll get you through that when you focus on him. Amen. And understand the end of both stories. Joseph got sold as slavery to Egypt, amen? And he went there, and who did he talk about? God. And he prophesied from who? God. And who took care of him? God. Joseph became a ruler in a foreign nation. Imagine that. Who could do that? When Joseph got to Egypt, they saw him. They saw his attitude. They saw his strength. They saw his faith because he lived it. Amen. He didn't let all those woes and what, oh, I'm here and I'm a slave now. And I'm a, no, he didn't. He stood with God. He said, God is with me. I'm going to get through everything because God is with me. So he focused on God. Amen. And God made him find favor with the Egyptians. Amen. To the point where the king of Egypt was in trouble because all the other Egyptians were mad. Why are you showing favor to him? He's not even one of us. But the king saw something in him. They saw who? God. And now we talk about David. David, who the brothers mocked and ridiculed, his family. He didn't see those mountains. Amen. He didn't see the Philistine. He didn't see Goliath as a mountain. He saw God behind his back giving him strength. Amen. And who did get with David when he followed God? When he followed God, what did God do for him? He made him who? King. King David. Say that with me. King David. God made him King David. He didn't see the mountains. Amen. He didn't let the mountains get in his way. He saw God and he felt God and he let God lead him. Amen. Hallelujah. When we pray God and remove the mountains, why do we wake up with building the mountains again? You know, I have to answer that question. Not to me anyway. Thank you, Lord. What a beautiful day we are blessed with today. 1 Corinthians 9:24, if you want to go home. Hey, you know, we got to find out, make sure Mark Bush is okay. He's not here today. We got a lot of friends tell me, oh, I watch pastors on TV. What's his name? I forget his name. The big, the beautiful man who speaks faith all the time. Got 10,000 people in his church. Joel Osteen. You like watching Joel Osteen. I like Joyce Myers. I used to watch her a lot. And Duplantis, Jesse Duplantis, you watch. I ask you, when you're watching all these people, do you ever take notes? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the people in the church, they're all taking notes, aren't they? But I'm telling you, when you should take notes. If you like them so much and they're feeding you, then take notes so you can go back and remember what he said. But if you just listen, oh, that was great. And I said, what did he say? Well, I really don't remember exactly what he said. I said, well, then what good is that? Amen. When you're listening, even to a sermon here, I'm a pastor. I'm just a humble pastor. But when I feed you God's word, you write down a note. Say, you know what God said. I mean, that's why I say, if you see my Bible, you see the pages all messed up and written on and all kinds. Because when I open the pages, I want to see notes that make me remember what I read. Amen. Because I want to remember. Anybody understand that? Hallelujah. Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but one receives the prize? Paul is saying, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Hallelujah. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but us for an imperishable crown. Amen. Paul is saying this, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. He's saying, I'm running, and I'm not like crazy, you know, saying and just flailing around. But he said, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul is saying, when I tell other people about Jesus, I keep myself focused and disciplined. I don't want people to see me talking about Jesus, see me as feeble, see me as weak, see me as uncertain. He's saying, when you tell somebody about God, you are a leader. And if you're leading, you need to show them, amen. You need to show them strength, or they will look right through you and not hear what you're saying. And Paul is saying exactly that to us in this lesson. 1 Corinthians 9 and that 27, it says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He is saying that I need to be disciplined. I know I'm talking about God. I'm not afraid about, and I need to show others what God is doing in my life. Not just with words, but with my actions. They need to see it. Amen. And Galatians has said, let us not grow weary while doing good. That's one you should have all the time with you. Let us not grow weary while doing good. And in Philippians has said, I press toward the goal for the prize. I press toward. In other words, he's really going for it. Amen. So I will tell you this again. If we lead, we must be leaders. The renewing of our minds. Whose minds? Our minds. And this is the closing. God will lift you up. Amen. God will bless you. Amen. And then they will follow you. All those who you want, all those you tell them about. You need to be strong. Hallelujah. Give God praise, church. Don't tell the devil what you can't do, because he'll use that on you every day. Don't say, I can't do something. Don't claim your problems out loud. Let the devil know where he can reach you. He's got every avenue open to us already. Let's not give him the highways. Amen. We can do all things through God who strengthens us. David and Joseph walked through mountains. Mountains, things that we can't even imagine. Being taken to slavery, being ridiculed, facing the impossible. But they did it with God. And when they did it with God, the end result was God lifted them higher than they could ever imagine. And we're reading about Joseph and David in the Bible. That's how important faith is. That's how important following God is. Because of what they did, we read about it in the Holy Bible. Amen. So you follow God in your life. You be strong. Don't be weak. Don't let that devil get to you. And he'll lift you. He'll do that for you. God will do that for you. He will fill you with that strength. Hallelujah. Give him praise.